a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper abandons fact-checking. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights. We haven't talked to Kate in a while, so Kate, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Paul.
Well, listen, I wanted to call you because there was this bizarre blog post in the official blog of the New Jersey Star-Ledger at NJ.com, and it was attributed to the editorial board talking about how terribly the DOT's three-hour tarmac stranding rule has backfired and blaming it for 900 cancellations a month just at Newark Liberty. And I went back and I looked at the numbers that have been reported by the airlines to the DOT about this thing, and I couldn't find anything that looked like the same universe. What's going on here?
I honestly don't know. The article appeared to be generated perhaps by Continental Airlines, which has a hub in New Jersey. And we know that in December, there were a lot of cancellations due to the blizzard that happened in New York and New Jersey at all three of the New York and New Jersey airports, LaGuardia, JFK, and Newark. But nothing even close to what is mentioned in that article is associated with the truth about flight cancellations in Newark.
Let's go back and get a little bit of background, because it's been a while since we talked. For a long time, for several months after this thing kicked in April, nobody wanted to really talk about how it was going in definite terms because it hadn't been long enough. Well, now we have 10 months worth of experience on it. We have numbers for 8 months of the year 2010 that we can compare to 2009. How has this rule been working out?
The rule is working fabulously. And because the media has been so gripped by each month's data and whether or not there's been a fractional increase or decrease in flight cancellations, we actually extrapolated the numbers. And 2010 was the second lowest year for the 15 years that flight cancellations have been reported.
Okay, now this is significant because, and we may need to connect these two dots for people who aren't familiar with this issue, the airlines had claimed that if you threaten airlines with fines, which in this case could reach $27,500 per passenger if it goes over 3 hours, then airlines would preemptively cancel flights rather than take the chance of getting close to these fines. And that just isn't happening.
It's just not happening. I mean, we've cut the tarmac delays down to 16 for the months in question where the rule was in place for 2010, down from somewhere around 568 the prior year for the same number of months, and actually less cancellations by 0.71% than the year before. So it's a mystery how the New Jersey Star-Ledger could come up with this fictional piece that they printed on their blog. And in addition, they associated the three-hour rule with the FAA, which the FAA had nothing to do with the generation of the three-hour rule. It was the Department of Transportation. So I'm not sure who got into who got a bug in their bonnet over at the New Jersey Star-Ledger, but if I had to guess, it was Continental Airlines that actually wrote that article and talked the editorial board into printing it.
All right, let's talk about the fines, because one of the big concerns, I looked at that number, $27,500 per passenger for over 3 hours on the tarmac, and I thought, that's kind of extreme. I mean, obviously it's a range and it's not an automatic maximum penalty, but that looks like a pretty stiff fine for an airline. How many times have the airlines actually been fined in the cases that have gone over 3 hours?
Well, that's a great question. Zero. The airlines have been fined zero. And unless an airline has a very egregious event, in other words, most of the events from last year, of the 16 that sat for over 3 hours, none of them sat for more than a few minutes over 3 hours, or they had good reasons for sitting. And I've spoken directly to the enforcement division at the DOT about this to try to find out why they had not imposed any fines. But the other issue that you bring up, which is a really great one, is that the airlines are constantly getting the media to print things about these fines being $27,500, but they're not. What the DOT said in their rule was that they could fine up to $27,500 per person per incident, but if you look historically at what the Department of Transportation does when they fine an airline, they never fine a maximum fine. And when they do impose a fine, they usually allow 50 or up to 75% of that fine to be forgiven after the fact, and the airlines usually have to do some pretty minimal things in order to get forgiven. So the fines that the DOT imposes in general are pretty small.
Well, I've seen a number of stories in which it seems to be a regular course of action for DOT to seek a civil penalty and then say that 50, you know, that some percentage of it can be used by the airline to cover the costs of mitigating whatever circumstance prompted the fine.
That's correct. But when you look sometimes, what's almost funny about it in a horrifying way is that the things that the airlines are usually required to do are not very effective or ineffective altogether. For instance, when the Rochester flights happened and that Continental Express jet flight sat all night and there was a lot of public outcry, and we found out that Mesaba and Delta actually had refused allowing that jet into a gate, and Continental didn't push very hard. So when those fines were imposed, I went to look at what was it exactly that they had to do to get 50% of those fines forgiven. All they had to do was print guidelines to their employees that said, this is how we're going to handle the next event, but they did not have to actually present those guidelines to the employees.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound like money laundering? That's what it sounded like to me. I was like, are you kidding me? All they're doing is printing paper, but there's no requirement that they actually do anything with that paper.
All right, well, let me ask the obvious question then. If it's a slap on the wrist and sometimes a joking nod-wink slap on the wrist, how is the rule even effective? Why haven't there been more tarmac strandings? Why has it been so effective?
Well, I think it's been effective because the airlines are scared that if they don't turn around, or if the DOT investigates and find out that they were really blatantly violating the rule, that they will get fined. What we do know the DOT is doing is that whenever an airline declares that they've been sitting over 3 hours and they violate the rule, quote unquote, the DOT is listening to all of the recordings from the cockpit to ground control, from the cockpit to the ramp tower, any conversations that pilot has been in regarding the status of that flight are being evaluated to see if indeed they had a legitimate reason for sitting on the tarmac. So the DOT really is doing their job. The only fine that has been imposed was against United Airlines for reporting a 3+ hour tarmac event that actually should not have been reported. And the reason they imposed the $10,000 fine was that United did not violate the rule. They actually had a legitimate reason for being on the tarmac, but they went ahead and reported that they'd been on the tarmac for like 3 hours and 10 minutes. And the DOT investigated and found out, no, they had a legitimate reason for being on the tarmac, so they should never have reported it because it costs the DOT money to investigate.
Kate, we need to take a break. We'll be back with more with Kate Hannai of Flyers Rights in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Kate Hannai of Flyers Rights about an error-riddled editorial published this week by the editorial board of the New Jersey Star-Ledger, exaggerating the negative impacts of the DOT's 3-hour tarmac stranding rule. Kate, before we started talking on the record, you mentioned that you think there might be a reason for a ratcheting up of the propaganda from the airlines at this point on the calendar. What's happening in the next few weeks?
The Department of Transportation has a new rule that they are going to announce will be final on or before April 10th, which is their target date. Could happen after that, but most likely it'll happen before that. And it's a rule that's been in the works for about a year and a half. In that year and a half, there have been multiple international flights that have sat on the tarmac for well over 3 hours. In fact, at JFK, December 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th, there were at least 50 jets that sat upwards of 15 hours on the tarmac that were all international flights. And for that reason, it's very likely that the DOT is going to include international flights in the three-hour rule, which the International Air Transport Association, as well as all of the carriers, both domestic and international, are fighting. And Continental does have a lot of international flights. So we are thinking that the reason for this article coming out and blasting the three-hour rule, which is wildly popular with the flying public, by the way, the only people you ever hear criticizing it are people that work for the airlines. We believe that the international flights are going to be included and that they've gotten wind that they will.
Okay. Let me ask you one final question. And this is a very general question, not really focused on the three-hour rule or even flying on airlines. In this new internet age where everybody is a journalist, one of the things we've counted on traditional newspapers to do is to be rational gatekeepers. In other words, you read things on blogs all the time which are unattributed or unreliable. You think you go to the New Jersey Star Ledger and, somebody who's a grown-up is at the wheel. What happened here? I mean, how does this stuff get on? I mean, this is so wrong and has so many mistakes in it that you wonder how it gets put under the banner of what used to be, a credible newspaper.
That is such a great point, and I have been wondering this not just about the New Jersey Star-Ledger, but also the Dallas Morning News and a few other papers who have these blogs where I see credible writers or editorial board, apparently editorial board postings, that are so factually incorrect that it reeks to me of corporations paying these folks to write these articles. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I will tell you that one great writer that wrote about our group a lot, Trevor Banstetter, went straight from a very, very highly regarded syndicated paper to working for Delta Airlines in their PR department. So I just question the integrity behind the Star Ledger in printing an article like this, where so clearly they did not fact check. And it causes me to wonder if they and a few other papers where I've noticed similar behavior are being paid by the airlines, either in advertising dollars or other ways, to print these articles, because there's simply no fact in that article that's correct. There was nothing in it that was correct. And it immediately inspired many of our members to send me links to that article and saying, what is up with this?
Well, I think the line that stands out to me is that just as promised, quote, airlines have been canceling flights like their Charlie Sheen fan club memberships, unquote. That clearly is not true. And frankly, Charlie Sheen has been growing in his Twitter followers.
No kidding. He had 2.2 million last night. I don't know what he's up to today, but he's definitely figured out a way to kick a gift horse in the mouth.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. I mean, my first, but you're right. I mean, as funny as that is, that's not the line that I was thinking of in that article that I would have jumped to, but that is hysterical. It really is true. They did not get one fact right. There have been a number of articles like this that have been printed where I just have wondered what the paper was thinking. But again, we cannot forget that when there's a paper in an area where you have a huge hub for a large airline like Continental, they get a lot of their advertising dollars from those carriers.
Maybe we'll see some sort of explanation come forth if someone at the Star Ledger does do some fact-checking and after the horse is out of the barn. But I just had to get your take on that, Kate. And thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today. And we'll continue to follow this with interest.
Hey, Paul, thank you.
The New Jersey Star-Ledger began as the Newark Daily Advertiser in 1832 and won a Pulitzer as recently as 2005. The paper survived a financial crisis and staff downsizing in 2008, as competition from blogs and other internet reporting have grown in popularity. Is that it? Is this wildly inaccurate blog by the paper's own editorial board an attempt to discredit blogs in general and convince us all to go back to killing trees? Because if it is, I don't think that's going to work. You can find the original blog post from the New Jersey Star-Ledger using the FMI link that accompanies this Aerocast. Kate Hanai is the founder of Flyers Rights. Find out more at flyersrights.org. That's Flyers with a Y. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.